thinking better and thinking together about life's most important issues. A place to finally meet in the middle, to think freely and reasonably about the big questions of life. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to another episode of Thinker Sensitive. My name is Ryan Ragazine, and I am your host. Today's episode is about the pursuit of riches, which is often confused with the pursuit of happiness. They say money can't buy happiness, but most of us need to become wealthy ourselves before we can actually believe this. We know from the stories, biographies, and autobiographies of others that some of the wealthiest and most lucrative people on the planet are some of the most miserable. I imagine that there's a kind of hopelessness in knowing that you have it all. What more is there to attain? Is there anything left for which to strive? Is there anything left for which to live? For there is certainly nothing here for which to die. There must be a kind of dread, a kind of doom, in realizing that you tried to buy happiness. But in the very act of consuming and owning everything, you learn that happiness was something that could not be purchased. What a nightmare to experience the hollowness of things, the emptiness of possessions. What a tragedy to be surrounded by everything, but to have and feel nothing. What a horror to know that you wasted away your life pursuing a lie, a facade. To come to the understanding that in gaining the whole world, you forfeited your soul. For whoever out of selfish ambition attempts to save her life by buying all, consuming all, owning all, will certainly lose her life, having nothing to show for it in the end but regret. But whoever, out of a pure and selfless heart, attempts to lose her life by giving it all away, will certainly save her life, gaining everything in the end, including a satisfied mind and a hearty and healthy soul. The artists and poets of our age speak to this truth lucidly and powerfully. I'm reminded of the song A Satisfied Mind, which was originally written by Red Hayes and Jack Rhodes, but it was covered by musicians like Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, and Jeff Buckley. The lyrics go like this. How many times have you heard someone say, "If I had his money, I could do things my way"? But little they know that it's so hard to find one rich man in 10 with a satisfied mind. Once I was waiting in fortune and fame, everything that I dreamed for to get a start in life's game. Then suddenly it happened. I lost every dime. But I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. Money can't buy back your youth when you're old, or a friend when you're lonely, or a love that's grown cold. The wealthiest person is a pauper at times, compared to the man with a satisfied mind. When my life has ended and my time has run out, my friends and my loved ones, I'll leave, there's no doubt. But one thing's for certain when it comes to my time, I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. Another song sticks out in my mind as well. It's a song called Hurt. The song was originally written by Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, but was covered by Johnny Cash late in his career. Both versions are great, but Cash's cover is special because the words are coming from a person at the end of his life, old and weary, weathered and wise, who has lived it, who has gained it all, and who has sadly felt the emptiness of it all. Listen to the lyrics. They go like this. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I'm still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way. But it's not just musicians and poets who have something profound to say about the vanity of riches and the futility of wealth, but also filmmakers and screenplay writers. The movie The Aviator, directed by Martin Scorsese and starring Leonardo DiCaprio, is a great example. The film chronicles the life of billionaire Howard Hughes, avid filmmaker, aircraft designer, and founder of Trans World Airlines. Hughes, like many millionaires and billionaires, was highly ambitious and super driven, which unfortunately can bring out the worst in people. Hughes was a known germaphobe and, like me, battled with obsessive-compulsive disorder. He had a few stretches over the course of his life where he struggled with severe mental illness, even to the point of almost experiencing a full mental breakdown. The film shows how the pursuit of riches, the drive to be great, and even ambition itself can harm someone and can lead to one's destruction and demise. All the money in the world can't save us from ourselves, from our delusions, our insecurities, our fears, our obsessions, our compulsions, our limitations, our weakness, our frailty. Money simply can't buy a satisfied mind and a healthy and fulfilled heart. Another movie comes to mind. The grand, introspective masterpiece, There Will Be Blood, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson and starring the great Daniel Day-Lewis. The movie functions as a kind of biopic of Daniel Plainview, a turn-of-the-century oil prospector who lies, cheats, and steals his way to the top of the economic food chain in the western portion of the United States. Plainview is a shrewd businessman, driven by the pursuit of power and the need for control and dominion. He's ambitious, but also incredibly selfish, taking advantage of those around him in order to get what he wants. And what he wants is precisely what you have. He wants everything. He wants it all, at any cost, no matter the consequences. Over time, he becomes a great oil tycoon, essentially owning a monopoly on oil in his little slice of California. The problem is that in his reckless and wanton pursuit of wealth, he has sabotaged every relationship in his life and has burned every bridge imaginable, leaving a trail of destruction and ruin in his wake. His greed has been his undoing. Old and alone, late in his life, he has nothing of real value to show for all of his many accomplishments. All by himself, in his empty mansion, there will now only be silence, isolation, and blood. The old miser is left with a milkshake and a dead body in an empty bowling alley that no one has ever played in, and that no one ever will. This vacant and lifeless playroom has become a graveyard, a symbol of the lonesome man's tragic fate. All his selfish and vain pursuits, all his greed, have led to this: a mansion full of assets, resources, and possessions wasting away under a sheet of dust. An empire of dirt. All the money in the world can't buy friendship and true companionship. All the possessions in the world can't mend a broken heart and can't fill a hollow and empty soul. It's hard to live in America without falling into the trap of consumerism and materialism. We're programmed to be consumers, sucked into the vast and attractive world of constant production and consumption. We've been conditioned to always want something more, to always want something better, the newest and shiniest and coolest thing, the next great advancement or invention or technology or fashion. We want it all. We want everything. We want the moon. We want the world. If we can just fill our garages with the nicest vehicles, and our kitchens with the shiniest appliances, and our closets with the latest fashions, then we'll be happy. Surely we'll find peace and contentment. For what more could we possibly want, other than everything that we still don't have? The next best thing, the newest thing, the greatest thing. The cycle never ends, the lust never satiated, the envy never quenched, the greed never satisfied, the heart never filled. The Disney Pixar film WALL-E illustrates the pitfalls of unchecked consumerism and materialism rather well. In the animated movie, rampant and excessive consumerism, paired with irresponsible living, has destroyed the Earth's environment, leaving the last vestige of humanity to orbit the Earth in a massive spaceship. To quote an excerpt from an article written by Mike Gray at Taste of Cinema, quote, "The lifestyle of the remaining human beings who orbit the planet in a gigantic luxury spaceship suggests that nothing was learned. Everyone is grossly overweight, hover around in floating chairs and sipping on gigantic containers of liquid food as robots encourage their slothful life. Dazed by their personalized holographic displays, surrounded by ads, and with their bodies atrophied due to extreme inactivity, the most horrifying depiction in WALL-E may not be Earth's ruined environment, but how the human population allowed itself to be consumed by consumerism." End quote. Every human being wants to be happy. All of us find ourselves in the pursuit of happiness. This is a universal human quest, a desire that resides within all of us. Though we all share the same desired end, the same desired goal, there are many different means that we might use to try to reach that end. Money is one of those means. We try to earn, make, gain, purchase, own, consume, and possess in order to be happy. But as the popular artists, musicians, writers, and actors in our society have illustrated for us, the people who would know this the best, because they are the very kinds of people who possess much and have made much, money and material possessions can't provide real happiness and true joy. Certainly not in the long run. But we actually don't need the rich and famous to tell us this. We each know this already. Riches and resources can't bring rest to the heart and peace to the mind. Mere things, mere material, can't fill the soul and animate the spirit. We were made for something more. We need something more. Something that transcends the material of this world. Material consumption does not and cannot feed the human soul, and fill the human heart. As we reflect on this, we need to take a step back and evaluate our personal pursuit of happiness. What are the means that we're trying to use in order to reach our desired end? Are these the kinds of things that can actually bring true peace and lasting happiness? Why or why not? Another question that comes to mind is, how do we use the money and the possessions that we have? Do we use these things selfishly or selflessly? Do we use them for ourselves or for others? Money itself is not evil. Material possessions themselves are not inherently bad. Good and evil are found in the way that we use such things. The moral question is a matter of our will and our freedom. This is why I disagree with the notion that capitalism is inherently evil. Making a profit or earning capital is not inherently evil. Greed is inherently evil. A proprietor or owner of a business can use her capital for good or for evil, for greed or for generosity, selfishly or selflessly. The choice is up to her. It is a matter of her freedom. And in her freedom, her morality is revealed. So how do we use the money that we have? How do we use our possessions? What causes do we give to? What charities do we support? Do we use our money to bless others? Do we share our possessions with others? Do we use our homes as a resource to show hospitality and build community with others? Do we use our vehicles to provide transportation for others who might need it? The way in which we use our money and use our possessions makes all the difference in the world. Those who give, receive. Sharing with others and living for others is inherently rewarding. There is a huge difference between the rich person who lives for others and the rich person who lives for himself. The former is fulfilled. The latter is empty. The former is truly rich, filled with joy and peace and contentment. The other, despite all of his wealth and abundance, is poor and left wanting. If you have been blessed with wealth, the only way to stay blessed is to live to bless others. The final thing that I have to offer is the hardest thing. We must be willing to lose our possessions in order to truly possess them. Otherwise, our possessions will end up possessing us. We'll become slaves to our things, owned by what we own. The Ring in the Lord of the Rings trilogy illustrates this principle well. The only one who can truly hold or possess the ring is the one who is willing to sacrifice it and give it up. The one who must wear the ring, who needs the ring, who is not willing to let go of it, who can't live without it, is the one who is consumed, enslaved, tortured, and ultimately destroyed by it. We can only enjoy a thing, truly and fully enjoy a thing, if we're willing to lose it or give it up. Take a vintage sports car, for example. You might love the car so much, too much, that you won't allow yourself to drive it because you're too worried that something's going to happen to it if you do. You have to be willing to let go of it in order to enjoy it. Otherwise, you'll squeeze the life out of it, and you'll rob it of its utility and potential. I want to end this episode with some words from the book of Ecclesiastes, a work that church tradition attributes to one of the wealthiest people in the history of Israel, King Solomon, who is also arguably one of the wisest. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun: wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. This too is a grievous evil. As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain, since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness, with great frustration, affliction, and anger. This is what I've observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them. For this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life, because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. I have seen another evil under the sun, and it weighs heavily on mankind. God gives some people wealth, possessions, and honor, so that they lack nothing their hearts desire. But God does not grant them the ability to enjoy them, and strangers enjoy them instead. This is meaningless, a grievous evil. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks. This episode and all episodes of Thinkersensitive are available on thinkersensitive.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app today to listen to more thought-provoking content from Thinkersensitive.